Chapter 13. She must let her come in, poor thing. She got a light in an instant, opened the door, and raising her eyes and the candle, saw Miss Aldclyffe standing outside in her dressing gown. "Now you see that it is really myself. Put out the light," apostrophe said the visitor. "I want to stay here with you, Sithy. I came to ask you to come down into my bed, but it is snugger here. But remember that you are mistress in this room, and that I have no business here, and that you may send me away if you choose. Shall I go?" Apostrophe, "Oh no, you shan't indeed, if you don't want to," apostrophe said Sithy generously. The instant they were in bed, Miss Aldclyffe freed herself from the last remnant of restraint. She flung her arms round the young girl, and pressed her gently to her heart. "Now kiss me," apostrophe she said. Cytherea, upon the whole, was rather discomposed at this change of treatment, and, discomposed or no, her passions were not so impetuous as Miss Aldclyffe's. She could not bring her soul to her lips for a moment, try how she would. "Come, kiss me," apostrophe repeated Miss Aldclyffe. Cytherea gave her a very small one, as soft in touch and in sound as the bursting of a bubble. More earnestly than that, "come." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she gave another, a little but not much more expressively. "I don't deserve a more feeling one, I suppose," apostrophe said Miss Aldclyffe, with an emphasis of sad bitterness in her tone. "I am an ill-tempered woman, you think, half out of my mind. Well, perhaps I am, but I have had grief more than you can think or dream of. But I can't help loving you. Your name is the same as mine, isn't it strange?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Cytherea was inclined to say no, but remained silent. "Now, don't you think I must love you?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, continued the other. "Yes," apostrophe said Cytherea absently. She was still thinking whether duty to Owen and her father, which asked for silence on her knowledge of her father's unfortunate love, or duty to the woman embracing her, which seemed to ask for confidence, ought to predominate. Here was a solution. She would wait till Miss Aldclyffe referred to her acquaintanceship and attachment to Cytherea's father in past times. Then she would tell her all she knew. That would be honor. "Why can't you kiss me as I can kiss you? Why can't you?" Apostrophe, she impressed upon Cytherea's lips a warm motherly salute, given as if in the outburst of strong feeling, long checked, and yearning for something to love, and be loved by in return. "Do you think badly of me for my behavior this evening, child? I don't know why I am so foolish as to speak to you in this way. I am a very fool, I believe. Yes. How old are you?" Apostrophe, 18. Apostrophe, apostrophe, 18. Well, why don't you ask me how old I am? Apostrophe, because I don't want to know. Apostrophe, apostrophe, never mind if you don't. I am 46, and it gives me greater pleasure to tell you this than it does to you to listen. I have not told my age truly for the last 20 years till now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why haven't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have met deceit by deceit, till I am weary of it, weary, weary, and I long to be what I shall never be again, artless and innocent, like you. But I suppose that you too will prove to be not worth a thought, as every new friend does on more intimate knowledge. Come, why don't you talk to me, child? Have you said your prayers? Apostrophe, yes, no. I forgot them tonight. Apostrophe, I suppose you say them every night as a rule? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, why do you do that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, because I have always done so, and it would seem strange if I were not to. Do you? Apostrophe, I? A wicked old sinner like me? No, I never do. I have thought all such matters humbug for years, thought so long, that I should be glad to think otherwise from very weariness. And yet, such is the code of the polite world, that I subscribe regularly to missionary societies and others of the sort. Well, say your prayers, dear, you won't omit them now you recollect it. I should like to hear you very much. Will you? Apostrophe, it seems hardly apostrophe, it would seem so like old times to me when I was young, and nearer, far nearer heaven than I am now. Do, sweet one, apostrophe, Cytherea was embarrassed, and her embarrassment arose from the following conjuncture of affairs. Since S. he had loved Edward Springrove, S. he had linked his name with her brother Owen's in her nightly supplications to the Almighty. She wished to keep her love for him a secret, and, above all, a secret from a woman like Miss Aldclyffe. Yet her conscience and the honesty of her love would not for an instant allow her to think of omitting his dear name, and so endanger the efficacy of all her previous prayers for his success by an unworthy shame now. It would be wicked of her, she thought, and a grievous wrong to him. Under any worldly circumstances she might have thought the position justified a little finesse, and have skipped him for once, but prayer was too solemn a thing for such trifling. I would rather not say them, apostrophe she murmured first. It struck her then, that this declining altogether was the same cowardice in another dress, and was delivering her poor Edward over to Satan just as unceremoniously as before. Yes, I will say my prayers, and you shall hear me, apostrophe she added firmly. She turned her face to the pillow, and repeated in low soft tones the simple words as he had used from childhood on such occasions. Owen's name was mentioned without faltering, but in the other case, maidenly shyness was too strong even for religion, and that when supported by excellent intentions. At the name of Edward she stammered, and her voice sank to the faintest whisper in spite of her. Thank you, dearest, apostrophe said Miss Aldclyffe. I have prayed to, I verily believe. You are a good girl, I think. Apostrophe then the expected question came. Bless Owen, and whom, did you say? Apostrophe, there was no help for it now, and out it came. Owen and Edward, apostrophe said Cytherea. Who are Owen and Edward? Apostrophe, Owen is my brother, madam, apostrophe faltered the maid. Ah, I remember. Who is Edward? Apostrophe, a silence. Your brother too? Apostrophe, continued Miss Aldclyffe. No. Apostrophe, Miss Aldclyffe reflected a moment. Don't you want to tell me who Edward is? Apostrophe, she said at last, in a tone of meaning. I don't mind telling, only. ... You would rather not, I suppose? ... Yes. ... Miss Aldclyffe shifted her ground. Were you ever in love? ... She inquired suddenly. Cytherea was surprised to hear how quickly the voice had altered from tenderness to harshness, vexation, and disappointment. Yes, I think I was once, apostrophe she murmured. Aha! And were you ever kissed by a man? Apostrophe, a pause. Well, were you? ... said Miss Aldclyffe, rather sharply. Don't press me to tell I can't indeed, I won't, madam. ... Miss Aldclyffe removed her arms from Cytherea's neck. "'Tis now with you as it is always with all girls, apostrophe she said, in jealous and gloomy accents. You are not, after all, the innocent I took you for. No, no. ... She then changed her tone with fitful rapidity. Cytherea, try to love me more than you love him do. I love you more sincerely than any man can. Do, Cythi. Don't let any man stand between us. Oh, I can't bear that. ... She clasped Cytherea's neck again. I must love him now I have begun, ... replied the other. Must, yes must, ... said the elder lady reproachfully. Yes, women are all alike. I thought I had at last found an artless woman who had not been sullied by a man's lips, and who had not practiced, or been practiced upon by the arts which ruin all the truth and sweetness and goodness in us. Find a girl, if you can, whose mouth and ears have not been made a regular highway of by some man or another. Leave the admittedly notorious spots, the drawing rooms of society, and look in the villages. Leave the villages and search in the schools, and you can hardly find a girl whose heart has not been, had is not an old thing half worn out by some he or another. If men only knew the staleness of the freshest of us, that 9 times out of 10 the first love they think they are winning from a woman is but the hulk of an old wrecked affection, fitted with new sails and reused. Oh, Cytherea, can it be that you too are like the rest? ... urged Cytherea, awed by the storm mess he had raised in the impetuous woman's mind. He only kissed me once, twice, I mean. ... he might have done it 1,000 times, if he had cared to, there's no doubt about that, whoever his lordship is. You are as bad as I, we are all alike, and I an old fool have been sipping at your mouth, as if it were honey, because I fancied, no wasting lover knew the spot. But a minute ago, and you seemed to me like a fresh spring meadow, now you seem a moldy highway. ... Cytherea was not weak enough to shed tears except on extraordinary occasions, but she was fain to begin sobbing now. She wished Miss Aldclyffe would go to her own room, and leave her and her treasured dreams alone. This vehement imperious affection was in one sense soothing, but yet it was not of the kind that Cytherea's instincts desired. Though it was generous, it seemed somewhat too rank and capricious for endurance. ... said the lady in continuation, who is he? ... Her companion was desperately determined not to tell his name. She too much feared a taunt when Miss Aldclyffe's fiery mood again ruled her tongue. Won't you tell me, not tell me after all the affection I have shown? ... I will, perhaps, another day. ... did you wear a hat and white feather in Budmouth for the week or two previous to your coming here? ... yes. ... then I have seen you and your lover at a distance. He rode you round the bay with your brother. ... yes. ... and without your brother, fie. There, there, don't let that little heart beat itself to death. Throb, throb. It shakes the bed, you silly thing. I didn't mean that there was any harm in going alone with him. I only saw you from the Esplanade, in common with the rest of the people. I often run down to Budmouth. He was a very good figure. Now who was he? ... I won't tell, madam, I cannot indeed. ... won't tell very well, don't. You are very foolish to treasure up his name and image as you do. Why, he has had loves before you, trust him for that, whoever he is, and you are but a temporary link in a long chain of others like you, who only have your little day as they have had theirs. ... tisn't true. ... cried Cytherea in an agony of torture. He has never loved anybody else, I know, I am sure he hasn't. ... Miss Aldclyffe was as jealous as any man could have been. She continued, he sees a beautiful face, and thinks he will never forget it, but in a few weeks the feeling passes off, and he wonders how he could have cared for anybody so absurdly much. ... he doesn't. What does he do when he has thought that? Come, tell me. ... you are as hot as fire, and the throbbing of your heart makes me nervous. I can't tell you, if you get in that flustered state. ... do tell. Oh, it makes me so miserable, but tell, come, tell me. ... the tables are turned now, dear. ... she continued, in a tone which mingled pity with derision, love's passions shall rock thee as the storm rocks the ravens on high, bright reason will mock thee like the sun from a wintry sky. What does he do next? Why, this is what he does next. Ruminate on what he has heard of women's romantic impulses, and how easily men torture them when they have given way to those feelings, and have resigned everything for their hero. It may be that, though he loves you heartily now that is, as heartily as a man can, and you love him in return, your loves may be impracticable and hopeless, and you may be separated forever. You, as the weary, weary years pass by will fade and fade, bright eyes will fade, and you will perhaps then die early true to him to your latest breath, and believing him to be true to the latest breath also, whilst he, in some gay and busy spot far away from your last quiet nook, will have married some dashing lady, and not purely oblivious of you, will long have ceased to regret you, will chat about you, as you were in long past years, will say, ah, little Cytherea used to tie her hair like that poor Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.